Can we cut that so it sounds like Sam wants to shoot the president?
It's the talk shop, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody, welcome to the Purple Chop. Nope, it's the Talk Shop now.
Oh my God,
that's why. That's why I'm not a contender.
When was it ever just the Purple Chop?
I had a shot and I blew it.
Welcome everyone to the Talk Shop podcast, featuring me, Tom Mickelson,
me, Corey Jamnick,
and I'm Sam.
Thank you for tuning in.
What episode is this, Carl? Tom,
is this season 2, episode 5?
That's correct.
Oh, I didn't even look.
You didn't have to.
Get on my level. Sam doesn't even know what the podcast is called.
I feel like I'm 99% of hot blonde chicks that move out to Hollywood. I had my chance and I already blew it.
By it, you mean Harvey Weinstein.
Hi-oh!
Oh! Topical and current. That's the stuff that...
And morally ambiguous.
That's the stuff that has us getting almost 20 listens. Every 2 weeks.
Hey, we have over 20 listens on our last episode.
And I'm all about it. Thank you very much, everybody out there.
Is it enough people where we can still name them all?
Probably.
Well, let's try. Just kidding.
Mom, Dad. That's not even a joke.
I don't think my mom knows that I do this still.
Really?
I haven't, like, tried to, you know, I haven't, like, hit it, but I haven't, like, gone out of my way to be like, hey, Mom.
Why are you talking about the podcast like it's you coming out of the closet?
Like, no, I mean, like...
I'm not ashamed.
You heard
of
it here. If you know Corey's mom...
Because the longer it goes on, the less aware I am of anything I've ever said on it.
That's true.
I think about that every week now. And I, like, come up with a story I want to tell, and I'm like, I might have told that one already.
So if my
we'll
mom,
let you know.
If my mom approached me on episode 3 and was like, hey, I didn't know you were doing this, I'd be like, okay, cool. And then I know that now. Going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late.
Your mom would have to be committed to listen to, like, how many hours is it? It's over 20 hours.
Yeah, that's true. It could very easily, she could be like, oh yeah, I listened to him, it was cool. But she just,
yeah.
She just got like 4 minutes into one and she was like, oh my God, I can't do this.
All that money I wasted raising. This is what he does.
Let's get on to the important topic. Gwen Stefani is getting a Christmas special.
What? Breaking news, by the way.
No, we're literally sitting here. Tom got a new soundboard, yep. Which I'm sure he's going to mention at some point.
It's hey, guys, nice. I got a new soundboard.
And we're getting here set. We're getting it set up here at the beginning of the episode, and I happen to look at Corey's TV, which is on with no sound, and that is literally the only reason in a million universes why I know that Gwen Stefani is getting a Christmas special. What's hilarious?
Isn't it about time? Isn't it about time?
It's her turn.
I mean, Kathy Griffin got fired, so you gotta go somewhere.
We all thought that slogan was about Hillary Clinton, but it was about Gwen Stefani the whole time. It's her turn to represent Christmas.
I'm
on
with
NBC.
Her being gotta, Gwen Stefani.
No, recycling is earth conscious, so we gotta recycle slogans as much as anything. It costs energy to make slogans.
Yeah, you don't have to remake any signs.
Yeah.
You just grab those.
So
old
if you write a slogan that doesn't work, you just throw it back in the bin. You use it again later.
Yeah.
Gwen Stefani saw it, picked it out of the trash, polished it right up.
And now she has her own Christmas special. That's what we're getting at today.
Change.
How did they become a thing?
Christmas specials?
No, I mean like
Gwen Stefani?
Like individual people like, this is my Christmas special.
The network says, hey, you're very popular.
Yep. Bob Hope.
It's almost Christmas.
Bob Hope had a Christmas special, and Americans were like, well, I like that Bob Hope, and mixing him with Christmas is all right. And Star Wars had a Christmas special.
Do you think anyone,
like, the greatest 50,000 Americans special. Killed themselves.
Do you think anyone has ever mentioned Bob Hope and Gwen Stefani in the same sentence?
Tell you, there's a reason people keep coming back. Like, to think it's
we appeal to a broad audience, very broad. People that are dead and people who like Gwen Stefani.
What I love about this in particular... What
so
I,
20 people. Exactly. The math works out.
Exactly.
What I love about this is that I've actually been listening to Gwen Stefani my entire life because my sister and I used to have bedrooms next to each other's. And she loved No Doubt. And so their
debut... By Bob Hope.
So their debut album, Tragic Kingdom, I've heard it a billion times.
Don't speak. I know just what you're saying.
I can't talk right now. I'm walking in the spider web, so leave a message and I'll call you back.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But they were like punk, man. They were like,
I would leave, but I'm in my own house. I don't have the guts to kick you out, so I'm just stuck here until this is over.
Just like Harvey Weinstein.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I had to bring it back. But she was like punk. She was like punk, you know, I'm just a girl, and she was like sticking it in the face of the patriarchy.
Sticking
like,
what in the face of the patriarchy?
Sticking her
her metaphorical dick.
Her punk rocking. her punk rocking coochie. Right in the face of the man.
Someone already wrote Take a that. Song. Someone already wrote a song about rock and roll hoochies.
And coos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure like every metal song from the 80s covered that territory. I don't know if you know this, but Cherry Pie is not about a bakery.
It's not?
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of creepy songs from that. Like, She's Only 17.
Yeah.
But she's old enough for me.
Is that David Lee Roth?
I don't know who that is.
I don't remember.
I gotta look that up, actually.
I just have to bring up that.
I'm gonna go on a list for this, by the way.
Rock has been, like, the creepiest music genre for a long time. Because just think about Lips of an Angel, which was a song that came out around 2006. Which is like,
and the lips of an angel.
It's hard to be faithful. It's about literally a guy gets a call from his ex. And he's like hiding in the other room. I just picture like this guy who's supposed to be like a hardcore rock star hiding in his closet. He's like, hey, baby. I can't speak too much louder than this because she's right outside.
That was by a band called Winger.
Winger? I've never heard of this band.
Neither have I. My entire... Oh, my God. Yeah, that song's weird. There's like a whole bunch of 80s songs about like... not legal girls.
Yeah. Well, the rules were very shaky back then. I mean, a lot of what happened in the 80s is what shaped the 90s, which is what led to a very tumultuous early 1000s, which is why now I'm not allowed to say anything without people getting offended.
All Winger's fault.
I can't believe you just said that.
It all started. It was like the 50s was like anything goes, but we don't talk about it. The 60s were like anything goes, and we're going to talk about it. The 70s were like, maybe this isn't okay. The 80s was when it's like, nobody said it isn't okay yet, so we're just going to keep doing it. The 90s was like, hey, you know what? Maybe it's really not all right. The early 2000s were like, it's not all right, but people are still doing it. And only now, and in the nearly 2020s, are we like, yeah, we should probably knock some of that stuff out.
And it only took 70 years.
Yeah.
It only took the people who were born when it started to start dying.
No, just really. This is the first year where, like, we've actually been like, hey, you know, maybe we shouldn't rape people in Hollywood. Maybe, like, we shouldn't let casting couches happen.
Well, okay, so the thing is just unbelievable to me is how many people must have known. Had to have known, right? Like that, let's just say Harvey Weinstein specifically.
I'm pretty sure everybody knew.
And we have, like, remember the Penn State thing?
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge deal because a ton of people knew about that too and did nothing.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's just the hypocrisy of Hollywood specifically and all of these people who, like, I totally understand if you were one of those people with the power imbalance where you can't speak out because then your life is over, like, it's ruined. Were you going to say, you think I was
going
to take
I didn't know where
side?
You were going with that.
You know.
Man, totally understand. You're the most important person in Hollywood, and these hot young things are coming into your office. But, you know.
No, I mean, but then you have all these people, like, who are at the top of the game, right? Like, nothing could ruin their career. And they know, and they could say whatever they want to about it, but they just don't.
Yeah.
Like, that's just some shit.
It's because they were all doing it, too. I'm relatively sure.
Yeah.
Not to derail the entire conversation onto a completely unrelated subject.
But
I just got a Snapchat from my wife, and I open it up, and it's the word text is just gibberish, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And I'm like trying to decipher it while you're talking, and it's just my mind is being fried. But then I realized what she had done is, have you ever just gone to your...
The predictive thing? Where
and
you just
tap the predictive over and over, and it just makes up gibberish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's when you're not expecting it, it just like...
I was like, is she having a stroke?
You feel like you're having a stroke, yeah. Like,
we will be the generation that tries to text during our strokes.
You can text,
a stroke.
You can text 911 now.
Can you?
Yeah, in Minnesota.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Neat.
Oh, speaking of 911, did I tell you guys I saw a hit and run?
Yeah, you told me.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
I did? Okay. Yeah, so then,
I don't know why I said that. I could tell his girlfriend.
That's the story. Then I saw a car hit another car and drive away. I called the police. The story is over.
Good story.
Corey is Batman.
If we're, okay, you guys all work.
I do.
Did you ever have
not
rumors?
Not anymore.
Did you ever have rumors get started at you at work? Are you like the? I've had.
I'll be completely honest. I don't know. I've never worked in a place that had like drama.
Yeah.
And I really. I don't know if I'm just lucky to not work with people who are cancerous, but I've never had that experience. It's never been a problem for me.
Drama follows me around at work, and it's to a point where I've always had the saying, like, if you look around and everybody else is constantly the asshole, mm-hmm. maybe it's time to look at yourself and wonder if you're the problem.
I mean, you could ask me, Corey, am I an asshole, and gotten an honest answer.
Yeah. There's reasons I don't do that. But my thought at work is, and I'm going to talk about work because I don't really care who hears this. My thought about work is I want to go. I want to do my job. I want to come home.
Yeah.
In that order.
Yeah.
I really have no interest in getting involved. Consistently at my job, just by the nature of where I work right now, I'm pretty much partnered with women who are over the age of 50.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot in common, right?
Yeah, who are x-ray techs. And at my job, nurses and x-ray techs have to work very closely together because we do a lot of the triage and stuff like that. And just in that setup, like you're saying, I'm not going to have anything in common with these people. And I accepted that a long time ago. But I've had a rough week. And it started out, there's one of these ladies that I'm talking about. And she comes She comes in at 7:37 every morning, which is the absolute earliest you can come in.
Okay.
We have to be there by 7:45, but we have a window we can be in by 7:50. This is important. This lady does not like me. I've known for a long time. It's fine. I don't expect... Like I've already said, we don't have anything in common. Why would she? But she starts getting after me really bad about the fact that I come in at, wait for it, 7:41.
Oh my goodness. You're late for being early?
Low-life scum.
And this became like a huge point of contention this week because her complaint is, follow me on this, she gets there early and she does our little opening checklist before I get there because it doesn't take long. It's literally about 5 minutes
of work.
Open
door, turn on lights.
She gets it done. And she gets mad at me this week because she always has it done before me. So she goes to our boss and complains that I am always quote-unquote late.
Okay.
I'm there 4 minutes early.
Wait, you clock in though, right? Yeah. Like, so people
can. I was going to say, an easily verifiable.
I heard the conversation, but she's just like, well, everybody should be here at 7:37, right? Because that's the earliest we can be here. And I heard my boss was like, no.
No, not really.
Not even kind of. But this has led this lady to start chewing me out like, well, he has his work ethic, quote unquote, and I have my real work ethic. It's become like this whole thing, and whatever, brush that off. But she was like, it's become this thing where now she's just looking for reasons to dock me through the day.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
And it's frustrating. And I was trying to think about, because we've worked together for like over 6 months now. And I'm like, why now is this becoming a problem? Why is this a thing all of a sudden? Come to find out through my networks, through my, I'm like Varys in Game of Thrones.
Through my private investigator that I hired.
There's a rumor going around, and this is great, that I am some kind of lead clinical position that doesn't exist, and that I'm getting paid about twice as much as everybody else.
Okay. And has anyone addressed this to you before this lady?
No.
Okay.
It was a joke at opening because somebody accidentally put lead in front of my title when we were opening the store, and we've all laughed about it. I've laughed about it with these people. And what's great is that the person spreading this rumor is like the most unreliable, useless employee we have literally within two entire locations. But I guess here's what sucks about it. Because that's, I mean, if somebody's going to start a rumor about you, it should be that you're rich and more successful than you are.
Yeah.
I like that. Here's what sucks is that that immediately leads everybody else to get mad and start talking about all the reasons I shouldn't be doing that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what I basically have now is two entire stores that are angry at me because of this fictional amount of money I'm not getting paid, who now spend their time talking about all the ways I suck.
Okay, so then you have like a few avenues here. You can either use your imaginary lead position to start bossing people around. Or, actually, I was going to say two avenues, but it's kind of the same avenue. You do that for long enough, and you convince your boss that you actually are just like this lead.
No joke. That's kind of what I'm doing. Because I've now, because it keeps coming up, and I'm taking a lot of flack for it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's one thing, everybody hates any kind of leader. Like, if you're any kind of leadership position, people don't have to talk
about you. Yeah,
which
changes the dynamic, yeah.
Which is fine, if you're actually a leader, and you're actually getting paid for it. So that's led me with these rumors.
You're getting all the hate and none of the money.
Yeah, to text my boss and be like, so this is still going around. And I started out like this. I was like, so can I include it on my application to grad school? Would that be okay? And she's like, sure, that's great.
Oh, confirmation.
So now.
There's a paper trail.
Now the conversation progresses to, well, if I have that title and there's this rumor about this extra money and I do these extra things, why don't we just go ahead and make it official?
Nope.
It's probably not going to happen.
You're fired.
But, and I want to make it clear to anybody who happens to be at my work listening to this, there's absolutely zero chance that I'm going to get a huge raise. I can almost guarantee that. But it would be the ultimate thing if this crazy, stupid rumor that is making all these people hate me was the self-fulfilling prophecy that like propelled me to a position that doesn't even exist. So that's what I'm hoping happens.
It's actually, right? That's actually really funny.
Yeah. If I'm going to bring it up on the podcast, there's going to be
that's
a
like
reason.
A class A smug license. Yeah. You could be the smuggest person there, knowing that someone started a rumor just to get people to hate you.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, now
it,
I am.
And you turn it around into being more successful.
And that's my plan, because I got really mad at first. You know, I got mad because people are saying, I don't know how to put mean things about me, which always sucks.
Yeah.
Especially when I have this mentality of I don't want to get involved in anybody's drama.
Yeah.
You know, but I would really love it if like I was able to turn this around and actually get like this job.
Yeah, I guess I'm pretty lucky. I like your ideal workplace that you described is basically my job. Like we all just roll in, we do our jobs, we're all friendly with each other, have a good time, go home.
And that's
and it's pretty great. I like my job a lot. It's like, I mean, it would suck a lot more if I didn't like the people I worked with. Like if there was a ton of drama, I would hate my life. It would be really awful.
I like what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like the work I do throughout the day. People, I mean, it's actually, my job is kind of like this crazy social experiment because there's only like four of us that work in this place. And we literally have to spend 13 hours a day together in very small, tight quarters, and we're not always busy. So just like the social dynamic, you could write a paper on how, like, as time has gone on, like the slow things that you could ignore in any other work scenario, you just can't.
I've got a really good one. Okay. All right, so Essentia owns an office in an office building out in West Duluth called BSC, the Business Service Center. And that's where all of the coders work, like the insurance coders. And accountants and whatever, just random like office job. And BSC, the way this building is laid out, there's two like wings. Like there's, you walk in, the door is in the middle of the building, and there's a big hallway that goes straight to the back, and then all of the cubicle farms are on either side of that giant hallway, right? So it's like two halves of the building, and it's legitimately devolved into like this like east side, west side, like culture. Like these two different like cliques of people on each side that hate each other. Like I've legitimately been there working, and I was there when someone was moving their cube to the other side because they got a different job, and like she was literally like, oh well, I'll still see you guys, and they're like, yeah, you're gonna be over there though. Like it was like the most melodramatic thing I've heard in my life, and they all just took it super like that was their life. It was like she was joining another gang.
Well, like humanity is like that, man. Like honestly, this isn't going to be anything new. This isn't going to be a revelatory statement. But think about how crazy it is that for the last like 200 years, we've had legitimate discussions about whether or not people deserve like the right to live and not be slaves. Because even though they're exactly like us, they're a slightly different color. That's just humanity. We're like, I'm this color, and you're this color?
There's more of me around than there is of you.
You kind of look weird. You can just kind of go over there and plow that field.
Yeah,
it'll be fine.
Would you mind? I don't want to do that. Here's the thing. There's a lot of us.
We own all the swords, so.
I mean, good luck.
You were here and you were nice to us, but here's a blanket with some smallpox. That's humanity. We're like, you're in that building, so here's smallpox. That's just who we are.
Thanks.
And then other examples like the orthopedics is spread out on two floors in the clinic, and the two floors hate each other. They're literally the same. They're the same department. They do the same job. They see the same patients. They're just split up because there wasn't enough room on one floor to house them all. They all hate each other.
And in a world with all this hatred, this racism, this division, all of this animosity, has there ever been a better time for Gwen Stefani's Christmas special?
Was there another commercial?
No, I was just trying to bring it back around. Like there was a plan for this whole thing.
I do think it is the right time. All this turmoil in our country, this division, this bipartisan nature. Everything's Trump's on a doing his thing. Everyone's going crazy.
Is that what we're calling it? Now? Yeah. Trump's doing his thing.
Well, we can't pretend we didn't know what we were getting.
Yeah, literally.
I mean, what else would you call? You can literally like he's just doing what he wants.
You can say he's doing his thing, and that's actually a perfectly reasonable statement.
We bought Trump's crazy dance home kit, and we're like, oh, he does a crazy dance. We got him home. We set him up. We put the batteries in. We hit the button.
What I was getting at is there is nothing that could unite this country more than a Gwen Stefani Christmas special.
She's just a girl in the world.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. Relatable. Everybody can relate to that. We're all people in the world.
Hello, police. Yes, there's two strange men trespassing in my house.
You're telling me you're not going to watch that?
Don't speak. I know just what you're saying.
Oh, my God.
I think it's thinking.
Oh, God.
Don't tell me, because it hurts.
Jesus. I need help.
Corey, you bought a Switch.
I did. I have help.
Have you pooped and played?
Of course.
Good.
That was like, I did that on the first day.
You just pull it right out of the box, and you're like, I got to take a dump.
I was saving my dump because I knew I was going to buy a Switch.
That's just building it up. Take some stool softeners.
I like how that's what you backpedal on. We've already discussed like rape and Hollywood, but no, the act of defecation while you play a video game. That's the one where you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
The act of retaining the defecation until after. Like it was like I circled the calendar. Like I'm not pooping until that day.
Why not?
It's a fair question.
Oh, no, fair enough. I'm lying. I actually did do that.
Okay, good. That's what I did.
It's true. All the kids are doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I happen to know for a fact that through our episode, we actually sold the Switch to Jack the Elite Garbage Man.
Yes.
Who we need to have back on the show.
Yes, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. So at this point, I'm thinking Nintendo just needs to go ahead and sponsor us. Mm. I'm pretty sure we are the most effective
the
gorilla.
Brought to you by Nintendo.
So, Nintendo.
Let's go!
You know how amazing
that
would
be? We know you're listening because we mentioned your name three times. And that's how it works. We sold you a Switch. I think it's only fair. Actually, technically, two.
As far as I know, Rick and Morty didn't get a Nintendo sponsorship. And they literally had a character stand there with an armful of 3DSs. And like told people to go out and buy them.
Yeah, but that's just Rick and Morty. Nobody knows what that is. This is the Talk Shop.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The only.
Brought to you by ourselves, because we're just that big. We can turn away sponsors. Except Nintendo.
There's a billion Rick and Mortys out there. There's only one Talk Shop.
There's one, a new one every week, it seems like.
Are you happy with your product? Are you happy with your choice?
I'm enjoying it a lot. I was afraid it was going to be just like buy it, play it for a week, then throw it on the shelf and it just collects dust, you know, whatever. Back to the old entertainment rut. But, like, not at all. I've been playing it a lot. Mario Kart makes me want to... I've had more suicidal thoughts in the last week than I've had in my entire life.
Yep. See, they need to put a disclaimer on the box for Mario Kart. I've been thinking about that recently because... It will push a man to madness.
No, you need to like get a psych evaluation.
I feel like I've had different experiences with Mario Kart.
You need to like bring a doctor's note to GameStop before they'll sell you that game. Like you can't just that's like weaponized rage. You can't just sell that to people.
Do you have 3 stars on the 150cc and 200cc circuits?
That's not my style. There's not a game on the planet where I get it and I'm like, I better complete this.
It's not our fault. Okay, you're a filthy casual.
How do you play Mario Kart?
Well, I don't own it right now. Okay. When I do, I play through it.
I will say, we used to play it a fair amount. I didn't experience nearly the level of rage that I experienced playing it by myself.
Yeah, when you have other people to take it out on physically, it's not so bad.
Like, it's just evil, man. Like, you'll just be destroying this race, and like the last third of the last lap, they just throw everything in the kitchen sink at you, and you can't do anything. It's just gambling. Like, you can't, there's nothing you can do. You just lose for no reason. For no reason. Super Mario Odyssey is so fun.
Yep.
I think I sent a message in our Facebook chat, which was like, if you'd have told me a week ago that I'd be driving around, I'd be playing a Mario game, driving around New York City in a tank, I would have said you were insane.
I love what you said about Mario Odyssey, whereas it's the only game that's been out in forever where literally every part of it is designed just to make it more fun.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know that it's going to be my pick for number one, but it's going to be on my list.
I love the controls. Like, how many different ways there are to navigate the map, and all the insane stuff you can do to get to random areas. Yep. Like, if you really, like, push, like, the mechanics that you have.
Yeah.
And all of these ways that clearly weren't intended.
It's like a sandbox how a sandbox should be.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It should be fun to get around, not, like,
and
a chore.
And, like, and all of the...
Yeah, it's not there to add time to the game. It's there to give you room to do activities.
And I love that, in all of the weird, obscure places, there's always, like, an actual intended gameplay way to get there. But you can almost always get there with just like some bullshittery. You just like mash some buttons.
And then you just like ricochet off of something and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then throw in like 12 pounds of luck. And then you're good to go.
I beat Breath of the Wild, by the way.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Nice. I have a suspicion I'm getting it for Christmas.
Yeah.
Hint.
Who are you hinting to? Oh, to me?
I was going
to
say that's the...
No, not to you.
Are you saying you want to borrow it?
Oh, I probably would if I didn't think I was getting it for Christmas.
I was going to say, your wife listens to this. You just like...
Yeah, no, I wasn't hinting to you. That'd be weird.
You were looking right at me, so I was confused.
I was looking past you in my soul.
Okay, so were you not suspecting it at all, and this was just your way of hinting it?
She asked me if there were any games I wanted for Christmas.
Okay. And you said the new Sonic game. Sonic
oh
Force.
Oh my gosh, can we talk about that?
Is that on the Switch?
I'm sure it is.
I don't know.
Let me look
it up. Is it?
We'll find out.
Look this up before we continue.
Just imagine... Creating your own hedgehog on the go.
This is going to be,
the greatest game.
This is a bit like, the reason that this is degenerate autism is...
There's the name of our next band. It's,
sounds like a good punk name.
The reason that this is just pure degeneracy is pretty clear to us, but it's a pretty... The Sonic stuff is a pretty dark side of the internet that I feel like a lot of people aren't aware of.
Go ahead and Google Sonic...
Actually, no. We can just do it this
fandom.
Way. You sitting at home, whoever you are, look up your name, the hedgehog, and go to Google Images.
I was going to say, just look up Google fan art.
I'll do it right now for us.
Sonic fan art. You could just look up like...
It is on the Switch, by the way.
Like Sam the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
In Google Images.
I've seen Sam
the
Hedgehog.
You will see some
shit. There's many different variants, though.
Yeah.
So this has been... The Sonic fandom is filled with...
Sam. The Sonic fandom stretches into the furry movement. And if you don't know what a furry is, there are a disturbingly large portion of the population that likes to dress up in giant animal costumes.
Wouldn't any more than like four people be a disturbingly large amount?
But we're talking about thousands and thousands.
There you are, Sam.
That's about right.
Let me see.
These people. I'm not mad about that because I'm hot.
Okay, there are...
It's a hedgehog.
I think I get furries now.
There were only a few things that I think you could reasonably expect your parents to completely disown you for. Your parents knowing that you just draw that stuff in your free time is one of them. If you're just like, look what I did, Mom.
I mean, there's a cutoff age, right?
Okay, fair enough.
If you're
27.
If you're 27 doing it.
And your mom finds your DeviantArt page or whatever.
Why do they all have full diapers?
You wouldn't understand, Mom.
If you're completely lost.
This is one cool hedgehog.
Corey the Hedgehog?
It's like Edgelord the Hedgehog. Look how cool he is.
That is exactly what some sad man named Corey. Corey, did you actually draw that?
I'm not nearly talented.
Are you
enough
hating
to
on this when you're the one?
This
over
is
the...
just ironic. I'm trying. I'm like, this is deflecting hate.
Here's okay. the thing:
if you're completely There's lost in this conversation, can I just explain?
Yes.
Okay. Because if you're completely lost in this conversation, yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog is an iconic video game character from the early 90s that competed with Mario in the Sega versus Nintendo years.
I never really competed with.
I brought up furries because in the time since then, even though his games have not been good, he's become an artistic kingpin where people love to draw pretty nasty sexual art about this cartoon hedgehog. And that's what we're looking up now. We're looking up our names and we're seeing our cartoon hedgehogs. So let me see, is this yours, Tom?
This is just one I found for my name.
I'm pretty sure it's like Tom from Tom
and Jerry. Is that even supposed to
be? It looks like a cat.
I think it's Tom from Tom and Jerry.
It says Tom Cat on it.
It has to be.
But here's Tom the Hedgehog.
Okay.
I get my God.
I get the cool 90s shorts like I'm going to a ska concert.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, he's diarrhea green.
Yeah.
That matches my personality perfectly.
Yeah, so there are a lot of cancerous and
or is this the one?
Mentally unstable Sonic fans that enjoy the game to a level that is unhealthy.
Oh, okay.
And Team Sonic is just straight Team Sonic, the developers of the Sonic games, is just straight up pandering to them now because they haven't made a good game in 20 years and they have to make money somehow, right? And a niche market's a niche market. Doesn't matter how low you have to stoop.
This new game that came out, now you're allowed to bring your fantasies to life with your own character.
Yep, you can build your own Sonic character.
And it's going to make them very rich, but is it bad for society?
Okay.
It'll make you very rich in the same way that like selling crack in the ghetto will make you rich.
I was going to say fast food. You're literally creating diabetes, but
it's
least.
A pretty morally ambiguous way to get a lot of money.
Okay. Not to interrupt. I found a proper Tom the Hedgehog, complete with bio.
Oh, I like that you get two.
Can I see?
This one's like an emo looking guy.
This is going to be really bad.
I'm going to read this.
I'm excited to hear this, actually.
Okay, this is by Emily the Hedgehog 1000. So, Emily, if you're out there, thank you very much. I'm flattered. I know you designed this after me, after all. Let's see. He's 16. This is a hedgehog, people.
Mm. Yep.
Which personality. He's 16. The hedgehog is 16.
I was going to say, meaning the artist was 12, because nobody makes their character 16.
Yeah. All right. Personality. There's even personality traits. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Kind, brave, quiet at times. And funny.
So he's quiet until he feels like being funny.
Yeah.
He's one of those rare personalities where he's like, I'm going
to be serious for a second.
Yeah.
When you're 16, what does it mean to have brave as a personality trait? What's the bravest thing a 16-year-old kid ever did?
That's a great question, actually.
If you're like a firefighter and you're 34, you can say that that person has brave as their personality trait, right? You cannot say that some kid who's 16. Unless you're like some kid in an African country who's been fighting since he was 9.
Yeah, unless you're a child soldier in Africa, you're not a brave 16-year-old.
All right, who's ready for the bio?
Please, I'm ready. Please.
Go on.
Bio. Thomas was born a single child and didn't
yep,
didn't have any friends. But one day, him and his family had to move to a new town. Thomas, there's no period there. Thomas was scared at first, but when he got thar.
Because he's brave. He was brave. He got there.
When he got thar, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's a pirate.
He saw a mother and her child coming thar way. And Tom, lowercase, found out that his dad knew the mother of the small family. That's actually how it's written.
Small family. Okay, is that small relative to like how many people there are in the family?
This is already every 90s movie ever
made.
Or
is it a small family?
It continues. As they talked, Thomas went to go say hi to the boy and found out that his name was Kyle. He was 2 years older than him, wrong then. The more they talked, the more they got to know each other and soon became best friends.
Is this going to get like homoerotic?
I don't
know.
Do you
skim this at all?
Nope.
Or are you just reading?
This is all live, baby. A year later, Tom and his family were having a picnic in an open open field near the woods.
I mean, every open field is near a woods, relatively.
Tom was playing with his soccer ball and kick it near the woods by accident. He grabbed the ball.
How was that spelled?
G-R-A-B-E-D. He grabbed the ball. He saw not just his hands, but another pair. Oh, boy. Here we go.
You're not allowed to touch the soccer ball.
As he looked up, he saw a pair. Oh, boy. A pair of emerald eyes stare into his eyes. It was a little girl about a year younger than he was.
Ooh. A little 17-year-old girl.
They both just stood there, not knowing what to do. Tom was the one who broke the silence, saying, "Hi!" But she didn't respond.
This isn't a bio. This is a bad short story.
I know. It just keeps going. Tom kept trying to get her to talk, and soon he managed... I can't read all of this. This is just...
Are you like halfway? How far?
I have no idea.
I was going to say, it kind of lost me. It's so transparent. There's some lonely girl sitting in a room that just moved to a new town.
Wishing some hedgehog would take her away.
I wish that was true, but I mean, let's be honest, this was a 35-year-old man.
So Emily the Hedgehog 1000, I appreciate the sincerity, and obviously this came from your heart.
Let's workshop the plot of this.
You know how the internet works, right? Like, all the men are kids, all the women are men, and all the kids are FBI agents.
Let's break this down like the way a real literary review would. Where's the inciting incident, Emily? Is it the moving? Is it the meeting the new family?
It's the soccer ball.
Is it the soccer ball? I need that earlier in the story. Your characters, there's no flaws. There's nothing there that makes me connect with them as real people. As far as I can tell, if you're kind, funny, and quiet when you need to be, too many positives. Let's balance that out with like a heroin addiction.
That might be a little extreme. Also, I'd advise maybe...
Doing heroin is brave.
I would advise looking into the spelling.
If he was 16 and started doing heroin, you could call him brave.
Get someone to look over your grammar.
That might be the quote of the day for me. Doing heroin is brave.
Doing heroin is brave.
Oh, wow. We got to get off this before we get like our website taken down.
Okay, so Breath of the Wild.
Are there any hedgehogs in it?
Not that I know of.
What about like small woodland creatures that resemble hedgehogs?
Honestly, there are. But what I was going to say it's good. The game is fun to play. The story leads a lot to be desired, I think. It didn't really earn the 10 out of 10, honestly, everybody dumped on it.
Was was the story like a big enough part of the game to where lackluster it was like... distracting?
I mean, it's a serviceable plot. So
it glue all of the cool gameplay together?
It's pretty much there.
There's an evil pig wizard that you have to kill to save Princess Zelda.
Okay, well, you're getting into spoiler territory.
I'm pretty sure that's...
You have to save Princess Zelda?
Yeah.
Also, another bone pick. Some of the dialogue is voice acted from some of the main characters, which is bizarre. And they got terrible voice actors.
Wait, did I mention this last week? The Pokemon movie where Pikachu spoke?
No.
In the new Pokemon movie, Pikachu talks.
What?
What's up? It's me, Pikachu.
It's what up, nerds? It was on Reddit.
Ash, you moron.
This was like a few weeks ago. It was like...
I'm gonna use the damn Thunderbolt.
It was like a cell phone video from in the theater. There's all these people watching. And it was like the end of this climactic battle when Pikachu was like presumed dead. And Ash was like, come on, Pikachu. And he said something. And Pikachu rolled over and was like, because I've always loved you.
No.
Can we like pause this and watch it so we can talk about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to see that.
And
everyone in the theater is like, what?
Oh, so he doesn't talk the whole movie.
No.
Oh, no. That's even worse.
Yeah, here we go.
Talking is
the
number two suggested thing when you look up Pikachu.
Here we go. Ready?
Yep.
Pikachu, why won't you get more Pokemon? It's because... What?
The only thing better than that is the fact that the entire crowd cared enough to react.
I mean, if I was in a Pokemon movie and Pikachu started speaking English...
In my head, I'm like, oh.
Oh, man. I mean, to be fair...
Pokemon really jumped the shark there.
Yeah.
If you're the kind of person that goes to a Pokemon movie on release day, you're the kind of person that has
a vocal response to
your child.
That was pretty great.
Crushed.
I like the what more than anything else.
It's because...
Why does Pikachu sound like such a bitch?
I have no idea. The Japanese version was even worse.
Was it?
It was like
so bad. You had people committing seppuku? So, I work with doctors and physicians, assistants, and nurse practitioners at work.
What about lawyers?
I don't.
Okay.
Not on a good day.
What about bankers?
I had one. I mean, they all come through. We're all equal on the side of herpes. But I had a physician's assistant that I actually liked quite a bit asked me a very good question the other day. We get a lot of people that come in with ear infections. And he looked over at me and
Do they get them when they listen to this podcast?
Yeah. What if we just cut off everyone's ears?
But he looked at me and he went, Sam, you know, I've always wondered, he's like, is there any right way to move somebody's hair before you do the ear? Before you check their ears? I loved it so much because it occurred to me, because I have to check ears too, but I never thought about it.
And now
but you are doing the 90s romance move every time, where you're getting right in their face and you're slowly moving the hair.
You can just hear Seal singing in the background, Kiss from a Rose.
You like blow softly in their ear.
Yeah, I never thought about it, but I've been ruined forever. Because now whenever I go to check people's ears, I'm like, now it's going to be Kiss from a Rose. It was Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For by YouTube. But
it's got to be Seal, man. Batman Forever soundtrack.
Kiss from a Rose.
Woo!
Woo!
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I had to bring us back on track. Sometimes there's no coming back from a talking Pikachu.
Should we talk about this album?
Is it time?
Sure.
I think it's time. We're 43 minutes in. I think it's about time.
So you have extensive notes. Well, yeah. let's say extensive commentary.
It's not
the
really...
album. The album was Sire.
By Jaden Smith.
And those of you who don't know who Jaden Smith is, that's Will Smith's son, and he is a lunatic.
He's the physical embodiment of, like, no perspective.
Yep.
So I think...
This kid was born insanely rich. He's always been insanely rich. And I'm just going to go ahead and say my favorite thing about the entire album is how this kid who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, who's never wanted for anything, probably never had to work for anything,
tries to rap about the struggle.
So here's all the notes I took.
He's straight up talking about police and the streets. And I think I could do it more authentically than he does it.
Kendrick Lamar.
I have no street.
He tries
credit.
To be. Now, see, that's one of my notes too.
So I want to speak kind of broadly about it because you have way more detail than I do.
Yeah.
Because you said it.
Start broad and then we'll narrow it.
Yeah. Okay. Because you said a couple weeks ago, Sam, that it was really well produced, and it was. Mm-hmm. It was actually really well.
Way more than it has any right to be, which makes me so angry.
That's what money buys you, man.
Yeah, I guess so.
It was like. He got like 70% of the way there. Like, he knew what a revolutionary rap album that would get him a bunch of attention was supposed to sound like, mm-hmm. right? And it wasn't just some generic, like... It wasn't generic. I'll give it that. And it was actually closer than it had any right to be to actually being good.
That's why I recommended it. I will never recommend just a dud.
Yeah.
What made it so fascinating to me is that it's almost good.
The only thing wrong...
It's so close.
Like, this is going to sound like a bit of an oxymoron, but the only thing wrong with it was him.
Yep.
Yeah. What I was thinking the entire time is, if they just re-released the album and cut every one of his parts out, it would be a great, like, chill hip-hop instrumental album.
It actually would.
Yep.
Like, incredible.
Whoever produced that has a real future in the business. But these are my thoughts. Before we let
Is
Tom...
that person going to put that album on his resume?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure
because
he will.
Everybody that listens to it is like, man, this production is fire.
And I'll say, if I can be broad for just one more thing, I'm not a huge rap fan, but I have enjoyed a fair amount of rap. I just don't think you can make a good rap album. Because rap is so much about, like, yourself, mm-hmm. and your own experiences and your own life. And I don't think someone who's lived the kind of life that he has can just make a good Ralph Evelyn. At least if he's going to write it about the things that he wrote it about.
Right. I was going to say you can. But that's what, I mean, Kanye West makes good rap albums, and he raps about what a ridiculous spectacle he is and how much the fame has messed with his head.
Yep.
And even though it's not relatable.
But that's honest.
Yeah.
Then that's about himself, and it's internal.
And that's the biggest thing that's
happening. Jaden Smith, he doesn't see himself for who he thinks he's this completely other person.
He
wrote
like,
an album about that person.
Yep.
He thinks he's like some reincarnated like wizard that like used to live on top of a mountain that was just full of wisdom and knowledge. But now he's just this kid that's like half of this freaking album is about this known unnamed girl.
Yep.
And it's just him whining like, doesn't talk to me.
Yep.
Why won't she talk to
this,
me?
Okay, this album is like, is there such thing as a bully apologist?
This album.
I will be an apologist for bullies. This album is a case study for why some people just need to get punched in the face.
I know. I've been saying for several years that there are people that grow up to be these people, like these self-centered, they have no perspective on anything. There are people that do need to be bullied.
I will stand behind a podium in front of a crowd of people and defend bullying on the basis of this album alone.
This kid
should not exist.
This is what happens when you literally buy your way to the top.
Yeah.
Because that's how we afford this production.
Yeah.
And also this is what happens when somebody who can have anything they want run into one thing they can't have. In this case, obviously a female that he wanted that didn't return the feelings.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because the amount of rage and the fact that he can't comprehend that this woman doesn't want to be with him.
It's very clear. How old is Jaden Smith? Can we look that up quick?
Yeah.
I think he's 19.
Okay. It's pretty clear that
I have
whatever the situation with this girl is the only bad thing that's ever happened to him.
Yep.
He just like doesn't know how to
deal.
Well,
that and After Earth.
I was just gonna say that.
it's pretty clear he's not emotionally equipped to handle like running out of sugar, let alone like a girl not reciprocating his feelings.
Absolutely, Tom. Let's get into your notes because
I'm gonna whip through these pretty quick. If you want to kind of go along with what I was thinking, just listen through it one time and just take note of the track names. I have them all separated, but this is just me jotting down interesting things throughout the whole album. So the first track is called B, because the first four tracks spell blue. So the next one's L, and so forth. The first thing that popped out, can't sleep without the NyQuil. That is a fire line. That is the most relatable thing I've ever heard of.
Am I supposed to feel bad for Jaden Smith's inability to sleep?
Yeah, you are.
He's making you feel bad for it.
He's trying.
It also, this whole track really reeks of like Post Malone sound. I don't know if you listen to Post Malone.
I sleep pretty well. If he wants to swap lives, that's fine with me.
I was going to say, like, the only reason you ever feel bad for somebody that can't sleep is if they have somewhere to be in the morning.
Or if they have something like going on in their life that explains why, you know, like their wife just died.
PTSD
or, you know,
from
you know,
the war.
Like something awful happened to them and they can't sleep. Like, I can't sleep
PTSD from After Earth.
Maybe.
That's like, that line, like so much of this album, is bad because of who's saying it.
Yep.
Like if someone else was saying that, it would actually be a good line, right? Or it would at least mean something. It wouldn't be completely devoid.
It's just another example. Here's this kid that's trying to fit in this community that's a lot about drugs and hustling and drinking and cough syrup and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I can fit in. I can't sleep without NyQuil.
I got a cold once, and I started taking it. Even after my cold was gone, I'd still use it.
Just wrap
sometimes up. I can't sleep, and I have some NyQuil.
Like his desire to fit in with this community that he has no place in. Like he wrote an album about something about all these topics that he has no grounds for writing about. He could have written about anything, right?
Yeah,
about something that he can actually relate to.
Yeah,
but
like
he just
being Will Smith's son.
He just thinks he thinks there's like nobility in struggle.
Yeah,
like it's some
the struggle.
Like it's virtuous to have a really hard life.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I also noted the lyric "The ocean makes me blue." That was
I remember that one. There's a few standout
horrible
lines.
It was like something about the boy who chased the sunset until the sunset chased him.
Yeah,
that's at the very end.
Oh,
that's his
God.
Outro. Yeah. I will say this. That outro is so bad, I almost liked the album and added it into regular rotation until that outro. Because I almost thought that he was like being self-aware. I almost thought that there was like a certain amount of understanding that he had no right to be making this album. And then that outro happened, but we'll get to that. Yeah. Go on, please.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to L. Kama Sutra Ing, he says. Yeah. Kama Sutra Ing, as if it's a verb.
Should have been Kama Sutra Ink.
Also, he says he should run for Senate, and I just put no thanks.
No, I mean, I would want to see it.
Yeah, I guess that would be pretty funny.
Here's the deal, he'd win.
Might as well. Okay, we'll move on to you. I just put, unfortunately, the arrangement is not bad.
Yeah.
This is when I was like listening to it, and I was like, it actually sounds pretty good.
By that
good.
Point in the album, you're like, holy crap, is this actually like, sounds really you know,
this,
good.
Oh, yeah. This isn't assaulting my ears as hard as it should be.
Then he goes, artichoke and woo!
I forgot about
and
that.
And then right after that, I just put, calm down.
What was the one, I think it's after E, the Falcon one?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a couple tracks.
That's the
after.
One about the police.
Yeah, yeah.
God, that one
where
was
he's like
so
a, yeah.
bad.
Yeah. Then he says he cries every night. Nice.
about what?
All of his songs leading up to this one is just like, or I guess it's just two. But they're all like him carrying the weight of the world.
Yeah.
Like he has so much going on. And you'd like listen and
he's
there's
the
like
Atlas
no substance to anything he's saying.
Yeah.
And then there's a part where he's just like, he's saying something. I couldn't pick it up. He repeats it a few times. It sounds like he's saying, Jimi Hendrix with the shits. I don't know what he's actually saying there, but he says it like a few times. And then he just starts making noises, sounds at the end of this track. Like, it's pretty wild. Down to E, this is the next track. He says girl about like 100 times
in this track. Yeah. Is that the one where he's like, let's go to Paris? And
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
And then at the end he says, or it's the, he doesn't remember.
Yep.
He doesn't remember.
So friggin' pretentious.
I know. It's, no one cares what you remember.
Yeah.
Then the next one's called Breakfast, and I just put, his flow sucks dick.
Yep.
Is that the one, is that the song where he's
zooming in a Tesla?
The song where he specifically mentions how great his flow is?
That might be.
That might be why you wrote it down. There's a song where he literally is like, my flow is so dope. And
I want to say that that's the,
he has like, he pauses like intermittently because the what is it? The syllables don't match up per line. So he'll just like pause to make it fit and it just sounds so disjointed.
He could have hired a ghostwriter.
Because he didn't want to do more than one take. He's Jaden Smith. He doesn't do two takes.
He's got to get back to the bed that he can't sleep in.
The next song is actually my favorite song on the whole.
Which one is that?
Hope.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
He mentions MLK again. I think this is the third time he mentions MLK. 9/11 conspiracies are in this song. And then he says his ego died.
Nah.
I don't think so. And then I just noted again, the music is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was one of those live burials. It came back. gotta get cremated.
This is the Falcon song, is the next one you were talking about. It's like a cop chase.
This one really triggered me.
Me too.
I don't really remember.
I listened to this whole album on the plane to Florida. And I remember this song came on and I was like, what?
It like ruined, that would like ruin the first leg of your vacation.
There's a segment of the song where it's like a news reporter reporting live, but it sounds like it was written by a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just the voice acting in that part is really bad too.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like, that's, you get
it,
what
it adds to it.
Yeah,
like,
you
it
get what
seems
it's
like a child
to
made it. That's really all I have interesting to say about that one. Next one's 90. Life is a puzzle, he says at the beginning. And he claims to know a soldier's life.
That's
not a good one.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I was going to bring that part up. You didn't.
It's like, I'm sure you do.
He did some basic training stuff for After Earth.
I'm
he was
sure.
basically on the front lines of Normandy.
I believe it.
It's like Tom Cruise who said that his life was harder than the military's.
And then
did he actually say that?
Yeah, he said that. I was surprised he had a career after that.
Is it like a recent thing?
No, it was a few years ago.
Damn.
He was talking about how it's hard being away from home when he's making a movie, and he's like, it's harder than the military. And like, he got a lot of flack from it, but it went away.
Nice one, Tom.
All right.
Then he also goes on to talk about how this girl he's after is just hangry, basically. And it's not because he's a freaking idiot. And at this point, I was questioning, what is the story exactly? What is he trying to convey to me?
Yeah, because there's clearly a narrative in this.
Somewhere. It's buried pretty deep.
Yeah.
I guess we'll get to it later, because at the very end, it kind of all comes together in a very stupid way. Then it's Lost Boy. Every song is like so... It just drags.
Yeah, it goes on way too long.
On and on and on. And... Yeah,
there's always enough time in every song for you to be like, hey, this isn't too bad.
Yeah.
And then be like, it's that bad.
Yeah, and then it reminds you.
He has about 3 minutes of shout-outs in the song.
Yeah.
It never ends.
Is that
ends.
The one where he's like, this is the bonus track?
Yeah.
Like exactly like Kanye West does on his album, and it sucked then too?
Yeah.
I don't like any of you enough to just listen to you babble on about nothing in the studio.
Yeah, all of my fave albums have bonus tracks, he says.
Yep. I remember just being... That's exactly what Kanye West did in his last album.
I forgot about the next song. I only have one note for the next song. It's called Batman. And it's just Batman, Batman, Batman. Because that's exactly how he says it. Batman, Batman, Batman. Yes,
that is actually just a legit shit song. I'm just going to be honest with you. I remember thinking like, oh, Batman might be a little bit of a lit song. So I like put it on. It's like, Batman, Batman, Batman. I was like, what are you doing right now? I think you took some of that, too much of that NyQuil.
The next one's called Icon. And I noted the, whoa, whoa,
whoa. Icon, he makes a lot of sounds. Yeah. But
he's an icon, this, apparently.
That is almost what I would call a banger. I almost didn't hate that song. I almost didn't hate that song.
I wouldn't say almost a banger, but I would say the least bad.
It got me a little hyped. It got me half hyped.
Okay, fair.
It was flinching, but I didn't get hard. It moved a little.
It wasn't sexual, but it was pleasing to the penis.
Just like Harvey Weinstein.
Hi-oh!
Third, that's the rule of three. That's all we get. Move on. All
right. Watch Me is the next song. And I just noted this sounds an awful lot like Kanye West, or him trying to be Kanye West.
He clearly likes Kanye West and Kendrick Lamar a lot.
Yes. He's about as mentally stable as Kanye West.
And then I...
Even the whole less time, so.
This whole track, I was just waiting for his voice to crack.
Yep.
It sounds like it's just on the brink at any moment. He probably went through like 90 takes where it did actually crack, and I just wish they would just release that version. The next one's Fallen, and I didn't have any major complaints with that song. It just repeats.
Yep.
Like, it's just so repetitive, and it just drags on and on, just like all the other songs before it. The next one's The Passion, which I'm sure is not in any reference to anything. I just put weak rhymes. He has some very weak rhymes.
We'll talk about that at the end, but yeah.
And then Na Na Na, the whooping in the background, and It Never Ends.
Woo! Woo!
This next song doesn't make any sense to me. George Jeff.
I don't remember it right off the top of my head.
This is the one where he's talking about George Jefferson.
Oh, yeah!
The founding father that doesn't exist.
It's just...
Oh, yeah.
It's just nuts.
Dishes Then it's Christmas.
Just the ramblings of a madman. This is what that song is.
We locked somebody in a box at the bottom of the ocean, and we released him 10 days later and looked at what he'd written down. See that song.
And then, what is the song even about? And then he says, I think about killing myself, so I noted, please kill yourself. The next one's Rapper, and in all caps, at that time of listening, I put, stop whooping.
Yeah, he relies on that a lot. I'd hate to go to a live show.
He heard someone way better than him do it.
At this track, which was impressive because it's the second to last track, my wife actually asked, is this over yet? So she made it that far. I thought she would quit way before that. I did it out of obligation to this stellar podcast.
Sponsored by Nintendo.
Yeah, now sponsored by Nintendo. Nintendo, if you're out there.
Even after we shat all over them last week for being racist.
And we were just pointing out that they're not racially diverse. We didn't outright call them racist, I don't think.
I'm calling them racist.
Corey is called... He does not reflect the views of the Talk Shop corporate
Just because he doesn't get any money doesn't mean we can't get sponsored.
Exactly. We love Nintendo.
You can take Sega. Yeah.
You get the create a hedgehog.
I bet you I could get a Team Sonic sponsorship faster than you could get a Nintendo sponsorship.
I'd believe
that's because Team Sonic's desperate for anything.
I would love to get sponsored by Team Sonic. Gotta go fast.
All right. Well, we got to get back because this is the last track of the album.
Okay, the last song.
This is Sire. S-Y-R-E.
Oh, yeah.
This is
like
a title track.
This is where it all comes together. It's spoken allegedly. Poetry. It's spoken beat poetry.
Really, so the only thing that could have made that album worse.
At the beginning, he's like, this is confusion. It's like, yeah, that's exactly how we're feeling listening to this entire album. And he's talking about a mountain. I have no idea what that's in reference to, the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's like, that's where he is now. The character of Sire.
I think it's supposed to be like the obstacle you have to overcome to become the Sire.
Okay.
You have to ascend. You know, you have to
evidently
go to the mount to get the Ten Commandments to come back down.
He talks about wisdom, mm-hmm. which he doesn't possess any of. And then he explains the plot of the entire album. And he literally just starts talking.
Is there a lower form of art?
No.
Then you should then spend.
I was thinking the whole time you should not have to explain any part of the story. It should
there's
be
like
pretty
17
apparent.
Songs where there's just nothing going on, and it's pretty clear that there's no like ultimate grand scheme of anything. Right? It's just like a bunch of stuff that you're supposed to think is deep, and then instead of just leaving that be. Like I said, like he takes the lowest possible form of art and just explains to the audience what they're supposed to take away.
I'm going to admit something that I probably shouldn't admit.
What's that?
Sire is so bad that I have not been able to listen to its entirety.
Really?
You didn't finish it?
That song.
Oh.
Okay.
I've listened to the entire album. Okay. I'm talking about that last song. I bail out every time.
It's really bad.
Yeah, I bail.
Really bad.
It's definitely hard to listen to.
Yeah.
The whole album I'm talking about.
You know, in summary, he literally rhymes dance with chance.
Yep.
He
does that, yep. And things like it frequently.
You did say weak rhymes.
Oh, they're terrible.
I was busting his chops.
He has absolutely no kind of unique themes or points to his songs. You know, there's Batman, Batman, Batman.
Yeah.
And
the images he draws in the songs sound like they're pulled right from any number of movies,
mm-hmm.
especially the cop chase one
yep.
and all that. Like he's getting shot and like, oh, he took like 3 bullets in the gut or whatever
yeah.
he said. Just like, okay.
Like he's 50 Cent.
Okay, Jaden, I'm sure. How many times yep. have you actually been shot with anything besides
man.
A Nerf gun?
Yeah.
Which he then probably cried and drank a bottle of NyQuil over.
I want whoever produces this album to hook up with Kendrick Lamar and make something.
That'd be
that
dope.
Would change the world. I'm so bummed out that whoever
so much
this
talent
person is,
just
yeah.
literally, I was gonna, it's not even wasted. It's something like worse than wasted.
Squandered.
That's a good word.
Yeah, so that album was an experience. It's if you want to catch up on any of these recommendations we've been doing for the past week, you can now go to thetalkshop.com and go to the Music Club tab. And all the albums we've recommended for every podcast since we've been starting this is on there. And it has a convenient Spotify link if you have a Spotify account. If you don't, I guess you'll just have to sit and spin. I don't know what to tell you.
Corey, it's your turn to choose an album.
It is my turn to choose. It's up between a couple of them. One of them is one that I really like. And the other one is one I just think will be interesting, that I kind of like. I'm trying to debate between the two.
I think whatever makes for more interesting discussion is usually the better choice.
All right. I'm going to go with The Mountain by Haken.
Okay.
Haken.
Hacking?
What's
Hacking.
So what's some background for this?
It showed up on my Spotify list.
All right. What
that's,
kind of music?
That's
prog?
The background. Yes. Well, it's like progressive rock, but not that progressive, you know? Just like a little... Somewhere between alternative and progressive rock.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Hacking the Mountain.
Hacking the mountain.
Hacking the mountain.
This is actually the mountain from the end of Sire.
Yeah. So it's really a natural
It's like a really weird tie-in.
Also, one of our listeners suggested an idea for us.
Okay.
It's the holiday season.
It is.
It just snowed today. It's fluffy and white here in the Northland.
It is indeed.
So
what about it?
With that in mind, you harken back to the days of watching Christmas movies, right?
Yep.
You're sitting by a warm fire, sipping your cocoa, watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Watching Mom put too much brandy in her eggnog.
Yeah. Mumbling I'm under sorry, her breath. Mom.
This is going to be the first time she listens to an episode. He knew?
So, let's not watch Rudolph. Let's watch a different Christmas movie. One we haven't seen.
Something, surely one that will be good.
I've never seen.
So we had a recommendation to watch A Christmas Prince. It's on Netflix.
Ooh. I hope it's about like Prince the Singer of Purple Rain.
That would be incredible. Purple I don't Rain. Think it is. But I hear it's pretty splendid and it's good for discussion. Like
Christmas Prince.
A Christmas Prince, yes.
A Christmas Prince. Not even the Christmas Prince.
No, just one.
just one of several Christmas
it's
princes.
It's not the specific prince. It's just okay. One of them.
Are we watching this together or are we watching this like separate and coming back?
We could watch it separate, come back, or we could watch it together. I don't really care.
Either one is fine with me.
Well, we'll figure that out off camera.
All right.
I mean, there is not really a camera.
Well, it's a sound camera.
What is a microphone but a camera for sound?
Exactly.
Good Lord. All right, what did we learn today?
I'll put it in. You don't have to worry about it.
You mean I'm not the one who makes that song?
Who wants to start?
I don't know if you thought you were, but...
You go ahead.
All right, well, I'm pretty much just waiting for Nintendo to release a Harvey Weinstein-themed Sonic game.
That would be... You pretty much covered every topic we covered with that one line.
Get to make my own up-and-coming actor.
I learned that despite all this turmoil that this country is in, and now that it seems closer to ever to splitting up permanently and seeing the government collapse, there is still a hope in the Gwen Stefani Christmas special. So, Gwen, if you're out there and you're listening...
Sam's like, damn it.
Yep.
The whole weight of this country and the world and the world's economy... Everything There's lies on your shoulders.
More of the weight of the world is on Gwen Stefani's shoulders than is on Jaden Smith's shoulders.
And that's if you saying can believe something. Jaden Smith shoulders a lot of the burden.
He's the modern Atlas. And Gwen Stefani is there carrying even more.
Carrying Atlas.
I can't believe
it. So it's like sub-Atlas.
Not only did you take Gwen Stefani from me, you just took Jaden Smith.
So I think that's that
literally,
covers it.
That's thank literally you for listening. The podcast.
Well, I learned that the waves keep on crashing on me for some reason. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. Please edit that in so it's like this, so it's with the song.
I'll see what I can.
But I never thought it'd be the two of us. Dun, 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 dun. So come here a little closer.
All right, we need to kill this thing.
All right. As always, everybody, thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for listening.
We're having a blast recording this, and I hope you have a blast listening to it.
Cause I'm feeling hella good, so I'ma keep on dancing.
Oh!